Trinadapi suniche na tarodiva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nam, hare nam, hare nam iva kevalam, kalo nastyeva, nastyeva nastyeva, gatir anyata. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, affectionately referred to as Krishna Book, as given to us by our beloved spiritual master, the ISKCON founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Chapter 75. Why Duryodhan felt insulted at the end of the Rajasuya sacrifice. King Yudhisthira was known as Ajatashatru, or a person who had no enemy. Therefore, when all the men, demigods, kings, sages, and saints saw the successful termination of the Rajasuya Yajna performed by King Yudhisthira, they were very happy. That Duryodhana alone was unhappy was astonishing to Maharaj Parikshit. And therefore, he requested Shukadeva Goswami to explain this. Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, your grandfather, King Yudhisthira, was a great soul. His congenial disposition attracted everyone to be his friend, and therefore he was known as Ajatashatru, one who never created an enemy. He engaged all the members of the Kuru dynasty in taking charge of different departments for the management of the Rajasuya sacrifice. For example, Bhimasen was put in charge of the kitchen department, Duryodhana in charge of the supplies department, Sahadev in charge of the reception department, Nakula in charge of the store department, and Arjuna in charge of looking after the comforts of the elder persons. The most astonishing feature was that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, took charge of washing the feet of all the incoming guests. The queen, the goddess of fortune, Draupadi, was in charge of administering the distribution of food. And because Karna was famous for giving charity, he was put in charge of the charity department. In this way, Satyaki, Vikarna, Hardikya, Vidura, Santardana, and Burishriva, the son of Habika, were all engaged in different departments for managing the affairs of the Rajasuya sacrifice. They were all so bound in loving affection for King Yudhisthira that they simply wanted to please him. After Shishupal died, by the mercy of Lord Krishna, and merged into the spiritual existence, and after the end of the Rajasuya Yajna, when all the friends, guests, and well-wishers had been fully honored and rewarded, King Yudhishthir went to bathe in the Ganges. The city of Hastinapur stands today on the bank of the Yamuna. And the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam that King Yudhishthir went to bathe in the Ganges indicates, therefore, that during the time of the Pandavas, the river Yamuna was also known as the Ganges. While the king was taking the Avabhrithas bath, different musical instruments vibrated, such as mridangas, conchels, panava drums, kettle drums, and bugles. And the ankle bells of the dancing girls jingled. Many groups of professional singers sang as veenas, flutes, gongs, and cymbals were played. And thus a tumultuous sound vibrated in the sky. The princely guests from many kingdoms, like Srinjai, Kamboj, Kuru, Kekai, and Kosala, were present with their different flags and gorgeously decorated elephants, chariots, horses, and soldiers. All of them passed in a procession, with King Yudhishthir in the forefront. The executive members who performed the sacrifice, the priests, religious ministers, and Brahmins, all loudly chanted the Vedic hymns. The demigods and the inhabitants of Pitriloka and Gandharva Loka, as well as many sages, showered flowers from the sky. The men and women of Hastinapur, or Indraprastha, their bodies smeared with scents and floral oils, were nicely dressed in colorful garments and decorated with garlands, jewels, and ornaments. Enjoying the ceremony, they threw on one another liquid substances like water, oil, milk, butter, and yogurt. Some even smeared these on each other's bodies. In this way, they enjoyed the occasion. The professional prostitutes jubilantly smeared these liquid substances on the bodies of the men, and the men reciprocated in the same way. All the liquid substances had been mixed with turmeric and saffron, and their color was a lustrous yellow. In order to observe the great ceremony, many wives of the demigods had come in different airplanes, and they were visible in the sky. Similarly, the queens of the royal family, gorgeously decorated and surrounded by bodyguards, arrived on different palanquins. During this time, Lord Krishna, the maternal cousin of the Pandavas, and his special friend Arjuna were both throwing the liquid substances on the bodies of the queens. The queens became bashful, but at the same time, their beautiful smiling brightened their faces. Because of the liquids thrown on their bodies, the saris covering them became completely wet. The different parts of their beautiful bodies particularly their breasts and their waists, became partially visible because of the wet cloth. The queens brought buckets of the same liquid substances and with syringes sprinkled them on the bodies of their brothers-in-law. As they engaged in such jubilant activities, their hair fell loose, and the flowers decorating their bodies began to fall. When Lord Krishna, Arjuna, and the queens were thus engaged in these jubilant activities, persons who were not clean in heart were agitated by lustful desires. In other words, such behavior between pure males and females is enjoyable, but it makes persons who are materially contaminated to become lustful. King Yudhishthir, in a gorgeous chariot, yoked to excellent horses, was present along with his queens, including Draupadi, and their features were so beautiful that it appeared as if the great Rajasuya sacrifice were standing there in person, along with the different functions of the sacrifice. Following the Rajasuya sacrifice, there was the Vedic ritualistic duty known as Patni Sanyaja. This sacrifice, which one performs along with one's wife, was also duly conducted by the priests of King Yudhishthir. As Queen Draupadi and King Yudhishthir were taking their avabhrita bath, the citizens of Hastinapur, as well as the demigods, began to beat on drums and blow trumpets out of feelings of happiness, and there was a shower of flowers from the sky. When the king and queen finished their bath in the Ganges, all the other citizens, consisting of all the varnas or castes, namely the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, took their baths in the Ganges. Bathing in the Ganges is recommended in the Vedic literature because by such bathing one is freed from all sinful reactions. This is still current in India, especially at particularly auspicious moments. At such times, millions of people bathe in the Ganges. After taking his bath, King Yudhishthir, dressed in a new silken cloth and wrapper, and he decorated himself with valuable jewelry. The king not only dressed himself and decorated himself, but also gave clothing and ornaments to all the priests and the others who had participated in the yajnas. In this way, he worshipped them all. He constantly worshipped his friends, his family members, his relatives, his well-wishers, and everyone present. And because he was a Vaishnava, a great devotee of Lord Narayan, he knew how to treat everyone well. The Mayavadi philosopher's endeavor to see everyone as God is an artificial attempt at oneness. But a Vaishnava, or devotee of Lord Narayana, sees every living entity as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, a Vaishnava's treatment of other living entities is on the absolute platform, as one cannot treat one part of his body differently from another part, because they all belong to the same body. A Vaishnava does not see a human being as distinct from an animal, because in both, the Vaishnava sees the soul and the super soul seated together. When everyone was refreshed after bathing and was dressed in silken clothing with jeweled earrings, flower garlands, turbans, long wrappers, and pearl necklaces, they all looked altogether like demigods from heaven. This was especially true of the women, who were very nicely dressed. Each wore a golden belt around the waist. They were all smiling, with spots of tilak and curling hair scattered here and there. This combination was very attractive. Those persons who had participated in the Rajasuya sacrifice, including the most cultured priests, the Brahmins who had assisted, the citizens of all the Varnas, the kings, demigods, sages, saints, and citizens of Pitriloka, were all very much satisfied by the dealings of King Yudhishthira, and at the end, they happily departed for their residences. While returning to their homes, they talked of the dealings of King Yudhishthira. And even after continuous talk of his greatness, they were not satiated. Just as one may drink nectar over and over again and never be satisfied. After the departure of all the others, Maharaj Yudhishthira restrained the inner circle of his friends, including Lord Krishna, not allowing them to leave. Lord Krishna could not refuse the request of the king. Krishna therefore sent back all the heroes of the Yadu dynasty, Samba and others. All of them returned to Dwaraka, and Lord Krishna personally remained to give pleasure to the king. In the material world, everyone has a particular type of desire to be fulfilled. But one is never able to fulfill his desires to his or her full satisfaction. But King Yudhishthira, because of his unflinching devotion to Krishna, could fulfill all his desires successfully by the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice. From the description of the Rajasuya Yajna, such a function appears to be a great ocean of opulent desires. Such an ocean is not possible for an ordinary man to cross. Nevertheless, by the grace of Lord Krishna, King Yudhishthira was able to cross it very easily, and thus he became freed from all anxieties. When Duryodhana saw that Maharaj Yudhishthira had become very famous after performing the Rajasuya Yajna, and that he was fully satisfied in every respect, Duryodhana began to burn with the fire of envy, because his mind was always poisonous. For one thing, he envied the imperial palace constructed by the demon Maya for the Pandavas. The palace was excellent in its puzzling artistic workmanship and was befitting the position of great princes, kings, or even the leaders of the demons. In the great palace, the Pandavas lived with their family members, and Queen Draupadi served her husbands very peacefully. And because in those days Lord Krishna was also there, the palace was also decorated by his thousands of queens. When the queens, with their heavy breasts and thin waists, moved within the palace, and their ankle bells rang very melodiously with their movement, the whole palace appeared more opulent than the heavenly kingdom. Because a portion of their breast was sprinkled with saffron powder, the pearl necklaces on their breast appeared reddish. With their beautiful earrings and flowing hair, the queens appeared very attractive. After seeing such beauties in the palace of King Yudhishthira, Duryodhana was envious. He was especially envious and lustful upon seeing the beauty of Draupadi, because he had cherished a special attraction for her from the very beginning of her marriage with the Pandavas. In the marriage selection assembly of Draupadi, Duryodhana had also been present, and along with other princes, had been very much captivated by the beauty of Draupadi. But he had failed to achieve her. Once upon a time, King Yudhishthira was sitting on his golden throne in the palace constructed by the demon Maya. His four brothers and other relatives, as well as his great well-wisher, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, were present. And the material opulence of King Yudhishthira seemed no less than that of Lord Brahma. When he was sitting on the throne, surrounded by his friends, and the reciters were offering prayers to him in the form of nice songs, Duryodhana came to the palace with his younger brothers. Duryodhana was decorated with a helmet, and he carried a sword in his hand. He was always in an envious and angry mood, and therefore, upon a slight provocation, he spoke sharply with the doorkeepers and became angry. By the craftsmanship of the demon Maya, the palace was so decorated in different places that one who did not know the tricks would consider water to be land and land to be water. Duryodhana was illusioned by this craftsmanship, and when crossing water, thinking it to be land, he fell in. When Duryodhana, out of his foolishness, had thus fallen, the queens enjoyed the incident by laughing. King Yudhishthira could understand the feelings of Duryodhana, and he tried to restrain the queens. But Lord Krishna indicated that King Yudhishthira should not restrain them from enjoying the incident. Krishna desired that Duryodhana be fooled in that way and that all of them enjoy his foolish behavior. When everyone laughed, Duryodhana felt very insulted and his bodily hairs stood up in anger. Being thus insulted, he immediately left the palace, bowing his head. He was silent and he did not protest. When Duryodhana left in such an angry mood, everyone regretted the incident, and King Yudhishthira also was very sorry. But despite all these occurrences, Krishna was silent. He did not say anything against or in favor of the incident. It appeared that Duryodhana had been put into illusion by the supreme will of Lord Krishna. And this was the beginning of the enmity between the two sects of the Kuru dynasty. This appeared to be part of Krishna's plan in his mission to decrease the burden of the world. King Parikshit had inquired from Shukadeva Goswami why Duryodhana was not satisfied after the termination of the great Rajasuya sacrifice. And thus it was explained by Shukadeva Goswami. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 75th chapter of Krishna, entitled Why Duryodhana Felt Insulted at the End of the Rajasuya Sacrifice.